spring training is coming down the home stretch. The Chicago Cubs and Los Angeles Dodgers play for real on Tuesday. And our takeaways from the Tokyo series featuring the Hanshin Tigers, Yomiuri Giants, Chicago Cubs, and Los Angeles Dodgers. This and much, much more on this edition of the Japan Baseball Report.
You're listening to the Japan Baseball Report, your weekly English language podcast that provides news and notes related to Japanese baseball.
Welcome back, everybody. It is going to be a rundown of all the Japanese players who are trying to make ball clubs in spring training over in Major League Baseball. As well as we mentioned at the top, we're going to be doing a look at the Japan series, both what has been played and in the Tokyo series, what has been played and what is about to be played. So spring training is coming down to the wire, and the first one we're going to look at is going to be Shinsuke Ogasawara of the Washington Nationals. The former Chinichi Dragon is in a bit of a battle for the final spot. It's a three-way battle. It's Mitchell Parker and DJ Hers who are battling it out for that fifth spot. In the four games so far in spring training, Ogasawara has a 1-2 record. He has worked 8 1/3 innings. He's given up 11 runs, 7 of which have been earned. He's walked 5 and struck out 6. He's got an ERA of 7.56. In his last outing on March the 10th versus the Marlins, he got roughed up as he threw 83 pitches and only 47 were for strikes. And as we mentioned, Mitchell Parker has been in midseason form, and it looks like right now he has the edge. Ogasawara, he will get another opportunity to get another start in a game on March the 15th. He pitched in a simulated game going 53 pitches in 5 innings. And they said that he will get one more start against Major League talent before they make a decision to see if he is going to come north with the ball club or not. Well, one of the factors in that game is they allowed him to call his own pitches, something that he hadn't done earlier. And so Ogasawara getting a chance to do that, and they said he was much more effective in being able to do that. So we'll see where that shapes up here in the next little bit. The second up on our list is Tomoyuki Sugano. And Sugano has been absolutely electric this spring. He has appeared in 4 games for the Baltimore Orioles. Working 10 1/3 innings, he's yet to allow a run or an earned run. He's walked 2 and struck out 11 in that time period. His last outing was March the 14th versus the Minnesota Twins, and he worked 3 1/3 innings. But the amazing part was to work 3 1/3 innings. He only threw 23 pitches, and 19 of them were for strikes. He hardly broke a sweat in that game. And I'm surprised they didn't extend him a little bit more based on the minimal pitch count. But Sugano is going to provide a rock-stable foundation for the Orioles. This is a very shrewd signing. I mentioned it in one of our streams as well as before on the Japan Baseball Report that the addition of Sugano, in some ways, it reminds me of when Iwakuma joined the Seattle Mariners a number of years ago, was kind of the number 2 to Felix Hernandez. Well, Tomoyuki Sugano stabling that Orioles staff, he and Charlie Morton, as well as the young guns like Grayson Rodriguez and some of the younger arms there, will be able to hopefully guide those players moving forward just the way that he is. You're getting yourself an ace of the staff at a pretty much a discounted rate. But Sugano is going to get this opportunity to live his dream out pitching here for the Orioles. I think Baltimore fans are in for a real treat this year. Next up on our list is Kenta Maeda. Kenta Maeda with the Detroit Tigers. Last year, Maeda did not have a strong season, of course, by his standards as well. He got knocked around and roughed up a little bit, especially early in the year as a starter, but seemed to find his groove a bit more when they moved him to the bullpen. This year in the spring, there's been lots of positives with Maeda, although his last start got roughed up a little bit. He has appeared in 4 games. He's had 3 starts. He hasn't won a game yet. He's 0-2, but he's worked 12 2/3 innings, allowing 8 runs, all of which have been earned. But the interesting part is his control's been outstanding. He's only walked 1 batter, and he has struck out 19 in the time frame. He does have a bit of a fluffed-up ERA at 5.68. And against the Yankees on his last appearance, he'd served up 3 home runs on March the 10th and allowed 5 earned runs in the 4 innings pitched. But the key part is he's been throwing a lot of strikes in the spring, 116 pitches in action, and he is delivered 75 strikes, showing great control. And a lot of the credit has gone to that off-season training program, the improved arm strength, movement, and movement quality, as well as execution of his pitches. But one thing that is still a bit of a concern for Maeda is the amount of gopher balls that he has allowed. He's given up 4 home runs in those 12 and two-thirds innings. But those 19 strikeouts that he has, he's done that in facing only 52 batters. So that is something that Maeda is going to have to be able to harness, keep the ball in the yard. And certainly pitching at Comerica Park as opposed to maybe down in Lakeland or in some of the other spring spots, the park will play into his favor if he's giving some deep fly balls up, as it is a bit of a graveyard at Comerica Park. Our next player on our list that we'll take a look at is Shintaro Fujinami. And for Fujinami, I think it's pretty much, I don't want to say a foregone conclusion, but he is not going to make the big league club. He is probably one of two players, I would say, on this list that we'll go through today. It's not going to get an opportunity to pitch in the big leagues. He's worked 5 ball games this year. He's got a record, doesn't have a record yet. 4 2/3 innings, he's allowed 4 runs, all of which have been earned. Walking 6 and striking out 4. Command has been a problem for the 100-mile-an-hour fastball pitcher of the Mariners. His ERA has been posted up at 7.71 in his last game on March the 15th against the Padres. He worked 1 inning, didn't allow a run, which is positive, but he walked 2 and allowed a hit. He was able to wiggle himself out of a bases-loaded jam. On 23 pitches, he only threw 11 strikes. And over the course of the spring, same deal. He is below the 50% rate, 28 strikes on 59 pitches. So why would an organization take a shot at somebody like this? He's been now with 3 organizations in Major League Baseball. He came over with the Oakland Athletics. They shipped him off to Baltimore, and then he spent time with the Mets last year. And now he's in Mariner camp. And obviously there's pitching coaches who see things that they like, and his 100-mile-plus-per-hour fastball is something that anybody would probably like. And so Fujinami is going to get that opportunity, and hopefully they can work with him and correct him and be able to get something out of it. Because I hearken back to the Detroit Tigers a few years ago. They had a bullpen arm named Bruce Rondon. And Rondon was at a 100-plus-mile-an-hour fastball. They thought he was going to be a closer. He ended up going over to the White Sox, and I don't know if he was with any other big league clubs, but after that he was out of Major League Baseball. But Rondon had a 100-plus-mile-an-hour fastball, and you just can't walk away from guys who throw that way, because maybe you can harness them and be able to work with them and train them, and they can gain some command on their pitches that can make them usable at the back end of the pen. So Fujinami, the former Hanshin Tiger, has been bouncing around in Major League Baseball. Maybe he'll be able to unlock himself at some point here with the Mariners this season. As I say, I don't think that they're going to give up on him too soon. We're going to take just a little brief time out. We'll come back and carry on with the pitchers. As we said, 12 pitchers are vying for spots on major league rosters. We'll be back in just a couple moments after this on the Japan Baseball Report, brought to you by Last Rouse Baseball. You are listening to the Japan Baseball Report, brought to you by Last Rouse Baseball. Join our Facebook group called NPB Japan Baseball Report. Connect with other fans of the Japanese game. If you aren't on Facebook, be sure to bookmark our YouTube channel for live events in the 2025 season. Next up on our list is Yu Darvish of the San Diego Padres. And for Yu Darvish, there is a little bit of concern, as his last outing was on the 13th against the Kansas City Royals, where he pitched really well. It was his second appearance of the spring. He got off to a bit of a late start. He worked 4 innings in that ballgame, allowing 2 hits and 1 run, which was earned, walking 2 and striking out 4. So today, as we record this on Sunday, March the 16th, he had a scheduled bullpen pushed back because of fatigue. They're not overly concerned, but they are concerned that it is getting a little bit late into camp. So he's going to be reevaluated on a daily basis before he goes out and throws another side session again. So Darvish is a big impact on that starting staff in San Diego, and certainly at the beginning part of the year where they do have some days off, that may play into his favor where they can shorten up the starting staff. But I would think keep an eye on Darvish to see if he is going to be able to make his next scheduled start in spring training. I would think that he probably has 1 and possibly 2 more left in him. We're going to have to wait and see how that plays out. Next is his teammate, Yuki Matsui. Matsui has been very, very reliable arm for the San Diego Padres last year, and he's picking up where he left off. He's already appeared in 7 spring training games, including one yesterday against the Seattle Mariners, where he worked an inning, struck out 1, and only threw 11 pitches. For the rest of the spring, with 1 win and no losses under his belt, he's worked 7 innings, giving up 3 runs, walking 2 and striking out 6, and pitching to an ERA of 3.86. For the 5'8", 165-pound left-hander, the former Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagle has been a great fit for the Padres. And as he was a closer for the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagle Ball Club back in Japan, he's not been used in that role with San Diego, but more as a 7th, 8th inning reliable pitcher. Certainly, if there was an opportunity that came up, I'm sure he would be pleased to be able to take that chance, be able to close out games. But Matsui, very durable to this point. He's in the second year of a 5-year contract. We'll have to see how that plays out for San Diego, but definitely a very, very safe and reliable piece at reasonable cost the Padres had signed him for. Our next up is Yusei Kikuchi. Yusei Kikuchi entering his first year with the Angels. He signed a contract after being traded by the Blue Jays to Houston last year at the end of the season. And Kikuchi has only worked 2 spring training games, and he's been decent. No record at this point. He's worked 7 innings with allowing 3 runs all earned, walking 4 and striking out 11. His last start was against the Kansas City Royals on March the 14th. It was a decent outing. There were some pluses. He worked 4 and a third innings, allowing 5 hits. He did walk 3, but striking out 8 in that 4 and a third innings, he has really taken his fastball and his pitching with the regards to the strikeouts to another level. They said last year when the Blue Jays had had him and they had shipped him off to Houston that he was a little too reliant on some of his other pitches, and they really got back to basics about establishing and throwing his fastball more. And that seemed to have taken Kikuchi to another level, at least for the Astros, certainly being able to help them in their push in the playoffs. And unfortunately for them, they crashed out against the Detroit Tigers. Our next up is another player that I think is not going to make the team. So our second Japanese player that's not going to make their team, and that's going to be Koyo Oyagi. Oyagi has appeared in 4 spring training games. He has been in trouble. He's pitched in 3 innings. He's allowed 4 runs, all of which have been earned, walking 6 and striking out 6, and he's got an ERA of 12. His last outing against the Braves was March the 13th, and he was only able to last a third of an inning where he had allowed a hit, walked 3, and hit a batter. And the alarming part there was he threw 27 pitches, 16 of them were balls, only 11 for strikes. So the sidewinding right-hander for the Phillies, I would not bat an eye that he starts the year in AAA. But I do expect that he is going to be on the call at some point on a major league roster for the Phillies. Certainly a different look where players aren't used to seeing the sidearm action from the right-hander. If he can harness his command, he would be something that I'm sure that would be fit right in at the major league level at the back end for the bullpen for Philadelphia. Our next up is Kodai Senga. He has made 2 starts for the Mets, and he has been decent in his spring so far. He has worked 5 and a third innings, only allowing a couple of earned runs, walking 9 and striking out 3, so that is noticeable. Normally, the ghost fork, when it's really working, he can ratchet up the strikeouts. His last outing was against St. Louis, where he lasted 3 and a third innings, giving up 7 hits, a couple of runs, walking none and striking out 1. Senga, it should be a very integral piece of that Mets starting rotation with Clay Holmes and then, of course, the injured Frankie Montez and as well as Sean Manaea. That could be a pretty formidable staff once they get everybody healthy. But the injury bug has bitten the Mets as Francisco Alvarez, the catcher, is out for a while, as is Jeff McNeil. Apparently this week is going to be down and miss significant time. So you take those 2 players out of the lineup and you have to insert a new starting catcher. Could be a problem for the Mets, not just for them offensively, but also in terms of game calling and everything else when your number one guy is gone for a bit. Our next one up is Shota Imanaga of the Cubs. Well, Imanaga has had himself a spring training where he's had 3 starts in 3 games. He's been roughed up a little bit by his standards. And that last one was against Cleveland on March the 10th. He will get the start in the series against the Dodgers on Tuesday from Japan for the season opener. He's worked 4 1/3 innings, allowing 4 hits. 4 runs all were earned against Cleveland. He had walked 1 and struck out 4. The throwing philosopher, as he is known, has 13 strikeouts in those 11 games, so that is working for him. He's only walked a couple of batters. His ERA is up around 573. And it was interesting when a reporter asked him why they call him the throwing philosopher. He expressed himself in a certain way, saying that even though he tries to present a simple answer, it comes out very complex and very thoughtful. And that is why they have kind of called him the throwing philosopher, even though it's maybe not as intended to be that way through his interviews. Well, that's our look at Imanaga, and we'll bounce over to who they're playing. It is going to be Roki Suzuki, who will start game 2 of the series. Suzuki's appeared in 2 spring training games. Hardly have had a look at him. Only 1 start. That was against Cleveland on March the 11th. Suzuki is 1-0. He's worked 7 innings, and he has yet to allow an earned run. He's walked 3 and struck out 7 with the ERA of 0. But for Suzuki, it's interesting. He is a survivor of the earthquake and the tsunami that ensued. He lost both of his paternal grandparents as well as his father. And he was very, very fortunate as a youngster to be able to survive that. And so he pitches with a heavy heart, and he thinks about that when he goes out to the mound, especially for the Dodgers to be able to showcase that. He'll be the starter in game 2 of the series. He'll go head-to-head against Justin Steele of the Cubs. So expect big things and great things for Roki in that one, as he will get that opportunity to start for the Dodgers. But the game 1 starter for the Dodgers is going to be Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Yamamoto, as he has made 4 starts already in spring training, he's been a bit of a workhorse, so to speak, for the Dodgers, getting prepared for the season. He's got a 1-0 record. He has worked 13 innings. He has allowed 6 runs, all have been earned, so his ERA is up at 4.15. But the interesting part there, not a single walk yet, and he has 14 strikeouts in those 13 innings. His last start was against the Diamondbacks on March the 10th, where he worked 5 innings, allowing 4 hits and 1 earned run with a walk and 7 Ks. But more importantly, he has been throwing strikes, 75 pitches as they ramp him up, and 50 were for strikes in that one. And that is Yoshinobu Yamamoto. We'll come back and take a look at the hitters who are vying for spots on major league rosters when we return after this. But we appreciate you guys for listening in with us. We'll be right back in just a few. You are listening to the Japan Baseball Report, brought to you by Last Drafts Baseball. If you are into the NPB, be sure to join us for our listening parties and live English commentary on the Last Drafts Baseball YouTube channel beginning March 28th, 2025. If you're just here for the podcast, it can be found on YouTube and wherever you download your podcasts. Well, our next look is at Shohei Ohtani as we stay with the Dodgers. In his spring training, he was 6-for-18 in North America here with a homer and a couple RBIs. He did get a chance to be the leadoff hitter in both of the games in the Tokyo series against both the Tigers and the Giants. It was a home run off of Shosei Togo of the Giants in the 5-run third inning that the Dodgers had the other night, as was his biggest blow of the series. And I'm sure for a lot of the Japanese fans, leading off as the DH, not getting an opportunity to see him play the entire game, he was basically removed after the 6th inning. Hunter Fiducia both times came in to pinch hit for him and was able to stay in the ballgame. But Shohei Ohtani looking all the part. Doesn't look like he has missed a beat from that off-season shoulder surgery. And there's lots expected for him, not just in the exhibition games coming up, but as well for the whole season for he and the Dodgers. Our next one is Masataki Yoshida. Yoshida got off to a bit of a hot start coming out of the gate of spring training. He was slow to start spring training, as he too was coming off of a shoulder surgery. This was on, I believe, on the labrum as well. Yoshida 8-for-25, batting .320, no homers and 5 RBIs. Keep your eye on that. Only 1 extra base hit of the 8 hits so far. And that'll be something to note, because it was the shoulder surgery that he had. It was on a non-throwing shoulder, but will that be something that will cause him potentially a reduction in his power numbers. Now, for him, fortunately, he does play in Fenway for half his games, so he can play Pepper with the Monster in left field, even though he is a left-handed stick. Yoshida, one is expected that he's going to do a lot of DHing this year for Boston. We talked a little bit about the defense with Jaron Duren moving to left, Sedano Rafaela in center, and the right fielder Willier Abreu leaves Yoshida as the odd man out. There was talk in the offseason that they were thinking about maybe moving Yoshida, but that did not come to fruition. Tyler O'Neill helped clear the logjam in the outfield as he had signed with the Baltimore Orioles. But Yoshida, at this particular point, looking to get as many at-bats as he can to get ready. And we'll see how the manager, Alex Cora, plans to use him this season moving forward. Our last up for the hitters is another player who was of trade speculation in the offseason. That was Seiya Suzuki. For Suzuki, he's struggled so far in the exhibition. He is 6-for-31 with a homer and 7 RBIs, batting below the Mendoza line at .194. And he also had an uninspiring Tokyo series with not getting a hit in the first game against the Hanshin Tigers. And in the second one, he did reach base. But Suzuki is a little bit off to a questionable start. And as we mentioned before, the DH role in Chicago did not make him necessarily happy as well. They talked about the defense of Ian Happ in left, Pete Crow Armstrong in center, and the addition of Kyle Tucker in right field. Yeah, they feel that by playing him more as a DH, it's going to allow him to stay healthy, something that he has struggled with in his two seasons at the big league level. And so with Ian Happ, a Gold Glove caliber left fielder, have to say, we were really impressed with watching Pete Crow Armstrong get the balls in center field in the game against the Murray Giants the other night. And we can only imagine how that will work out when they go on the road and play in some of the bigger yards. And then Kyle Tucker has been a pretty solid right fielder for the Houston Astros in the last few years. He's no slouch either in the outfield. So where does that leave Suzuki to play? As we said, DH, and probably spelling the other three outfielders as needed when he is put into the ballgame. So that is where that sits. So there's your rundown for the players, 15 players. And as we said, probably 13 of the 15 will be on big league rosters when the season begins. But keep your eye, as we mentioned, on Ayagi. He probably stands the next best chance of making a big league roster as opposed to everybody else. We'll come back and take a quick peek at the Tokyo series. And once we do that, we will give you an update on what our thoughts were, what we witnessed in those games. We'll be right back after this. The Japan Baseball Report has been brought to you by Last Drafts Baseball. If you would like to reach us with questions or comments, our email address is info@lastdraftsbaseball.com. We'll respond to as many comments and questions in the upcoming episodes that we can. We appreciate your listenership and look forward to seeing you at one of our live stream listening parties this season. Welcome back, everybody. The Tokyo series featuring the Murray Giants and the Hanshin Tigers, along with the Cubs and the Dodgers, is over. And we have a few of our takeaways from it. The first game of the series, the Tigers shut out the Cubs 3-0. It was Hiroto Mumbetsu, the starter for the Tigers, was perfect for the first five innings. They ended up losing their no-hitter in the sixth. The Tigers went on to knock off the Cubs 3-0 in that one, as it was a very impressive pitching performance by him. And then, of course, the Tigers followed that up with a 3-0 victory over the Dodgers. Hiroto Saiki, who is the opening day starter for the Tigers, was able to deal as well. He went three innings. Watching him pitch was very, very interesting as well. So it's still pretty much a spring game for a lot of these teams. We saw the starters, not all starters, but certainly like players like Otani and Freddie Freeman, got a run out for the first six innings, and then they went to the bench after that. There was no bookie bets for the Dodgers either in either of those first two games. So we'll see how that plays out for the games that begin on Tuesday and Wednesday, how the Cubs and the Dodgers will fare against one another. The Dodgers, on the flip side, they knocked off the Murray Giants 5-1 in their first game. It was a five-run third inning, and our takeaway to that was there were three bombs that were hit in that inning. And then the Giants were able to put a consolation point on a little later in the ballgame. But the styles of play that were on hand in the game, we really didn't get a chance to get the flavor of the Japanese baseball that we really witness and watch on a regular basis. The Giants had a little bit of bunting in the games that we witnessed, and they did run a little bit as they were able to run on Kirby Yates, the Dodgers reliever. But for the most part, it wasn't the typical Japanese baseball, and the Emory Giants do, for a lot of cases, like to bang more than they do like to run and nickel and dime. But that is in the Japanese League, and you're facing the pitchers from the Los Angeles Dodgers, a couple of different animals in terms of comparison. In the other game, the Cubs beat the Giants 4-2. And again, it was runs that were scored in succession, as all the runs in that game were scored in the fifth inning. And so also kind of the uniqueness of the way that the American teams used their staff. Both of the first games, it was a bullpen day, as they pretty much used a pitcher an inning, with the exception of a couple of arms that ended up going a couple innings. But what stood out for me was the Dodgers' impressive left-handed relievers of Anthony Banda, Jack Dreher, Tanner Scott, Alex Vesia, and not really sure what they're going to do with Justin Robleski. He did start the game and went a couple innings, but I would have to think when everybody's healthy, he would be finding his way into the Dodger bullpen as well. So we'll have to see how that shapes up. But more importantly, we saw runs in bunches, and we also saw a lack of what I would call, at least from the Japanese teams, offensively, a lack of their style of play. Didn't really see the hit and runs, didn't really see the sacrifice bunts. Saw a little bit, but not much. And in a lot of ways, it reminded me of the American-style game. You get runs in bunches, you get the home runs, and you get a whole lot of nothing on the in-between. And I think that's where the game has gone, where it's a power game. It's a game where they try to throw hard, lots of strikeouts, end up with a lot of fly ball outs, and not a lot of action on the in-between. So once we go back to watching the NPB on a regular basis, and it's that level of talent versus each other, I would expect we're probably going to get back to seeing the things that we do enjoy, which is those bunts, the hit and run, and all the little small ball and balls that are put in play in general that make the game a little bit more exciting than a general home run derby. Well, that's what we have for this edition of the Japan's Baseball Report. We hope you guys like the updates on the players. Be sure to check back in with us in the next couple of days. We've got another one coming up, and we're just about done our report on the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles. Also going to have a couple interviews coming up here over the next couple of weeks. We'll put those ones out as well. But once again, it's been another edition of the Japan Baseball Report. Appreciate you guys for jumping in here with us today with Last Wraps Baseball.
Are you into slow motion video of hitting and pitching mechanics? Last Wraps Baseball's YouTube channel has been updating our database. During the 2025 season, we'll be uploading more video with our thoughts and analysis. If you're just here for the podcast, you're listening to the Japan Baseball Report, found on the Last Wraps Baseball YouTube channel and wherever you download your podcasts.